Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Oh, that lovely man, Dave Solomon. Lovely man. Oh, just did a little correspondence with him back and forth past 24, 48 hours. And this is a secret of Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. One of the major components for the reason why we have 109,000 listens so far is because of the length and the breadth of the music. And a huge part of that is Dave Solomon, whose voice you just heard, because not only is he one of the consummate vocal, conveyors, if you will, of traffic information in Philadelphia and elsewhere around the United States, but also he is a jazz connoisseur. So, therefore, he records a lot, and he has sent so much to me through the years, I can't even say. So this is my, once again, and I do this so much, I have to declare my love for Dave Solomon, because there wouldn't be a Hybrid Jazz if there wasn't Dave to make sure that Trishy here knows all that she needs to know about what's happening, what is really and truly phenomenal jazz. So let us tell you that Val Lewis is coming up in the next hour. Wait till you hear this music. Oh my gosh, Colors of Soul. He's originally from Philadelphia, so it's going to feel like old home week. And you know, if we don't have a guest in the first hour, we start the show off with something classic. From 1964, Mary Lou Williams, one of the most phenomenal albums of all time, Black Christ of the Andes. This is It Ain't Necessarily So.
Thank you.
holy cow, I miss that guy so much. I mean, I know he's around. He's going to be 60, as a matter of fact, next month, August the 11th, Joe Jackson from 1982. When he had songs out that you could hear on One Radio was good. Here she goes already. You know, those songs popped. Stepping Out Right There, and Is She Really Going Out With Him, and then 1984, one of the best songs ever. You can't get what you want until you know what you want. Oh, my God, that song was just incredible. And so was he. The last time we checked, he had a tour going on, and I missed him. He was in Strathmore in Bethesda, Maryland, and a bunch of other places. It was in tribute to Duke Ellington. Now I understand he's working with one of his favorite groups called Zuko 103. He was working in Amsterdam. The group is releasing their new CD in October, so there will be some Joe Jackson cuts on it. But other than that, he's laying low, and I miss him. This from Night and Day in the early 80s. Nice. Summertime music, isn't it? It sounds air-conditioned. Cindy Bradley in the middle of that 3B. I have to start calling them that now. From her brand-new Bliss CD, the single called Riverside Drive. Now, it's interesting. I read earlier today a review on Bliss. And I really do believe that the person who was reviewing the CD meant every word said in love, because he realizes that Cindy Bradley is a formidable talent. He said the eye-opener of the CD was when we get to the Duke Ellington song, there's that name again, Squeeze Me. He said that Cindy kicks out the jams on that because she gets the concept of that music and that period. And honestly, that's because Cindy, when she was a young girl, she was in this group with a mentor that fostered the kids in this group to learn that old music. So she's got that in her blood. And the reviewer was a little frustrated because he believes that Cindy's label is putting her in the box to do just the stuff that she is possibly told to do. I don't know if that's true or not. I want to have Cindy on here so she can talk about a lot of stuff that maybe she'd like to discuss, but I don't know how receptive she is or not to do that, but there is so much in that trumpet and flugelhorn, I can't even say. On the CD, she's got Michael Broning, Dan Cipriano, her husband, of course, on saxophone. Freddie Fox is on this. She's got some real great players. And I haven't heard the whole CD, to tell you the truth. So I'm going to reserve what I think. I mean, I know I love her as a trumpet player, and I want to see her expand her horizons, because she's one of those young artists, and especially, you know how I feel about female artists, if they're given the wings to fly, and as this reviewer was alluding to, she reveres these old cats, and she could be there. She just needs to go to that other little fork in the road and make sure that more footprints from her last CD are on future CDs. But I have to listen to all of it, so I'll tell you what I think later. To start off the set, it was 1964, and Mary Lou Williams presents The Black Christ of the Andes. It ain't necessarily so. A lot of people say this is the definitive version of that song. Pianist, composer, arranger, a favorite of Duke Ellington, who could not say enough about what she was able to do. Holy cow. Duke Ellington mentioned in each of these artists' songs. Isn't that weird how he is a tie-in to so much? Loved Mary Lou Williams, one of his favorite artists ever. First Lady of Jazz, listen to me. Hold on just a second. Doesn't happen a lot. And what she wanted to do was, since she went through this great metamorphosis, she became Catholic and got quite involved in charitable endeavors and different saints and fell in love with the notion and the life of St. Martin de Porres, who we used to hear about all the time in Catholic grade school. Whew, he was just so unique. So she wanted to do this album that was a combination of secular music and sacred, so she could honestly appeal to African-American listeners and pull them in, especially with the kind of work that she had been doing, which was to make sure that anybody who fell victim to addiction got themselves back on their feet. She honestly thought this album could be a source of healing, and she was right. Grant Green's on this, Percy Heath, Jimmy Mitchell on vocals, Bud Johnson. Just a rare find. If you get a chance, make sure you get the Smithsonian Folkways edition, because there are pictures and a couple of bonus tracks. Vel Lewis, coming your way next hour. Can't wait. I'm a little excited. Now, I know he doesn't live in Philadelphia anymore, but you know what? You can take the man out of Philadelphia, but you can't take the Philly out of the man. So it's going to be a little bit of what our discussion will be next hour here on Hybrid Jazz. I just discovered that Marcus Johnson's going to be at Blues Alley, which is his home turf now, coming up in the next couple of days and all weekend long. Yes, sir. This is a remix from an earlier work of Marcus. Matthew Shell got a hold of Cherish the Journey, got his friends Greg Adams and Paul Jackson Jr., and he and Marcus were able to do this sweet little retooling of a song that may be one of your favorites. If it's not heretofore, it might be now on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz.
That makes the devil backtrack into his lair. Yeah, these young souls are soothsayers, spiritual players, accelerated graduators of this game called life. Spending 16s making Biggie breakdance and Frankie seem like Layla's dad, with 10,000 other souls watching true love withhold nothing. And through dry tears, we'll spend the next few years silently screaming, why? Until we realize that their spiritual awakening already understood their undertaking the moment they appeared in the womb playing rocker room, creating heated debates that should have been sparked sooner than the dark hell of December 2012. And now they dance the story of masters much faster than a polygamous pastor can tell a lie, faster than you can wipe from your eyes the soot of deceit. How these kids dance the story that tell us to delete the feeling of being incomplete from our consciousness, to let these 6 and 7 year olds take a hold of our consciousness, to remind us to laugh, scream, and let our inner child fly higher than deferred dreams seldom seen. Through the lens of love and gratitude, let's give our children love and gratitude. Fly high. Shine and fly high, fly high, fly high, fly high, fly high, fly high.
fly high, and fly high, and fly high, and fly high.
Oh, that song just slays me every time. What a combination of talents there, Layla Hathaway and Malcolm Jamal Warner with the spoken word there, that Robert Glasper meant as a tribute, that spoken word in the Stevie Wonder song, Jesus, Children of America, to those victims of Sandy Hook. Phew! Oh, my gracious. When you just wrap your head around the poignancy of that song and the intent to heal, to just make sure that in musical history, something like that that has happened in America is never forgotten. That's beautiful. Robert Glasper from Black Radio 2, a hybrid, hopping, all-encompassing piece of work. Seriously, oh my gracious. Just so you know, Layla Hathaway is at North Sea Jazz, and I believe that Robert Glasper is going to be as well. Thereafter, Layla is going to be in the UK at the Jazz Cafe. Malcolm Jamal Warner is doing his thing. I am following him on Facebook. As you might imagine, he has far too many friends to accept any more, but he's doing his own musical thing, and I see that he has kept company with a few jazz artists in recent months. So there's that great piece of promise, isn't there? Beej and I are talking about these jazz festivals. North Sea Jazz was mentioned earlier on Facebook on my page, and Shannon West and I were going back and forth. There's much to say. These jazz festivals don't pay homage enough to jazz artists. It's become laughable that the headliners for quite a few of these are not only not jazz artists, but unthinkable to call the festival jazz when you have, for example, Tyrese as the main reason you should attend. Really? Okay, then. But at least North Sea Jazz is exercising some creativity, and you have to go see, because in the mix with Dr. Lonnie Smith and Christian McBride and a host of other jazz artists, there's Hall & Oates and Stevie Wonder. I'll accept that. As long as people know why they're there and acknowledge the vast array of jazz lovers in the audience and maybe do a jazz set. Hey, why not? Come on now. Let's continue to think out of the box, but let's be logical about it. All right, that's enough. Rick Braun in the middle of that little array of tunage, Can You Feel It, drops today, the CD. The track you heard, the Philippe Say song, Another Kind of Blue. Wasn't that beautiful? Oh, my gosh. 2 days ago, he had a birthday. Now he's getting the CD dropped. It's just doing so well. He's going to be in the UK at Pizza Express at the Rehoboth Beach Jazz Festival in different sorts of varieties of groups and on his own. Rick is always busy. He's always happy. He's got that beautiful family life at home, and that means the world of difference. And the reason why Rick and I bond the way we do is because Emma, his daughter, was diagnosed as autistic, and my son has Asperger's syndrome, which is another form of autism. So Rick likes to see how T is making progress through his years, and I like to see what Emma is doing. So when I heard that she's wearing high heels now, well, I'm a little excited about that. So yay, Rick. Can you feel it? Yes, we can. Marcus Johnson at Blues Alley, he started the set with Cherish the Journey from Matthew Shell's compilation called Victorious from last year. It's a remix. Greg Adams on trumpet, Paul Jackson Jr. on guitar. Nice little collaborative effort. What did I write here? Oh, my gosh. Oh, yes. Marcus is going to be with his Urban Jam Band at Blues Alley, and that's going to be the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. If you want to find out how you can get a hold of Victorious, go to MTS Music. That's Matthew Shell's production effort. He's a great producer, and if you look to see the kind of artists that are on Victorious, you will step back because there is something for everybody, literally. Pop, Selena Gomez is on there. Jazz, R&B, hip-hop. He covers the waterfront on all of it, as it were. So enjoy, as you will, Vail Lewis, coming up next hour. Yes, less than 15 minutes away. And I wanted to get to this because, speaking of birthdays, Rick Braun had one 2 days ago. Yesterday, we remembered Joe Zawinul, who would have turned 82 yesterday if the Merkel cell carcinoma hadn't taken him in 2007. Man, let me tell you something. Joe Zawinul maybe doesn't get the credit that he deserves for jazz fusion. It took somebody from Vienna, Austria, to see the whole picture. So when he was working with Miles Davis, and then he grooved into his own little scenario of what sounded right as far as his concept, working with Cannonball Adderley and forming with Wayne Shorter, working with Jaco Pastorius, which helped a great deal, Alex Acuna, Manolo Badrina. He got Weather Report in mind, and it just changed the concept of so much that people had been thinking, especially with a song like this from 1977. You know what's coming up from Heavy Weather, the most explosive Weather Report project that was out there. Followed by the way, a remixed single from Earth, Wind & Fire from the digitally remastered The Promise with Gerald Albright on sax. So it's Birdland first, and then Earth, Wind & Fire and Vail Lewis coming up on Hybrid Jazz. Woo! Elegant and Fire and Vel Lewis coming up next on Hybrid Jazz. Have had so much fun listening to Vel Lewis in the past few weeks. Woohoo! It really has changed perspective. You know, it's been my little oasis to go to when things have been a tad challenging, I go to that smiling face that you see on Colors of Soul, and I'm just awash in what he is able to do with the keyboard and the organ, the way he composes, produces, arranges. Listen, this gentleman has been behind the scenes for a long time. When I acquainted myself with all that he has done since he's been in high school, and then the training began even before that, it's just mind-blowing. He really had been in Philadelphia one of those go-to guys, and it hasn't stopped. And now I am really hoping with all my heart, and I thank Jason Gourav for making sure that Vel Lewis came to my attention. I'm hoping this is the time for Vel Lewis to shine, as opposed to making everybody else around him shine to their glossy finish. Please make welcome one of my new favorites, Vel Lewis. Hey, you!
Hey. Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness.
Such a kind word.
Are you kidding? Thank you for the music through the years. Man, if people only knew what you have done.
Yeah, but some do, some know.
Oh, I know that. But look, it's my mission to make sure a whole lot more know, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Hey, listen. My friend Beach is in the chat room, and she said that she was so excited because she made it a point to look at the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and saw your name in the credits.
good.
And I said, did you happen to catch it on The Sopranos? And she said, no, doggone it, I don't get cable.
Well, it's syndication, so hopefully they'll come back around on video if they're not already on, like, DVD or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look, we'll fix that. It's just, you know, getting the word out. And, look, while we're talking about that, because it's such a big deal, Matt's in the chat room, too, and he is such a video geek. This is what he does for a living. He does videography, and he's also a photographer. And he's also, check this out, Vel, he's also a trumpeter and a vocalist in a big band.
Wow.
So, yes.
All around
so,
guy.
He really is. He's a Renaissance guy. So, you know, he has a real affinity for the arts. You make sure you brag on yourself right now. What else have you done? You've been called to do some really special projects in the way of televised events through the years. Feel free to enumerate all that you have done, please.
Well, I'll tell you, the first televised event that I did, which still is just mind-blowing for me, is when I was in high school and did a show on TV that aired for, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks, 2 or 3 days a week on PBS, featuring myself, Jerry Brown on drums.
Oh, yes.
And John Lee.
Wow.
John
yes.
Lee ended up being bass player with Dizzy Gillespie for a number of years. And at the time, Jerry Brown, if I'm not mistaken, I think he may have been playing with Cliff Nobles and Company back then.
Uh-huh.
And then ended up working on tour with Stanley Clark and Chick Corea during the School Days album era. And, I mean, just phenomenal musicians. I think back and, like, wow. I actually had a TV show with these guys just playing some, you know, just standards, but just having so much fun doing it.
Now, you
and
know, that's so interesting.
That, go ahead.
Go ahead, because there's so much to say. Go ahead. I want you to say some more.
But yeah, well, it was another I can't say incident, but it was actually taped show, and this was at WHYY TV in Philly.
Oh yeah,
James Brown on the show.
What?
Georgie Woods was the host from WDAS FM
oh,
on the show
yeah.
again, and I was with the Futures at that point. And if you can imagine just being on the side of the stage watching James Brown rehearse prior to taping. Oh
my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just amazing.
And you know, the movie's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know about that? Yeah. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fully prepared for you to talk. Go ahead.
No, it was just amazing just to see how he worked with his band. And I mean, he was a master at it. You know, if he didn't feel like something was coming out right while he was on stage doing the rehearsal, he'd stop and, hey, I told you, don't want you playing that part. You know, I wanted to weigh out. Okay, oh, yes, Mr. Brown. Yes, Mr. Brown. It's like, whoa. Back on the stage. It's crazy. But it was great to see. And, it was definitely an experience to have those kinds of experiences like that, you know, as I was growing up. So.
And how did you get tapped as young as you were to do that PBS show with Jerry, who, by the way, is with Diana Ross now? You probably know that, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we keep in touch. Yeah.
I'll bet you do. How did that happen?
Oh, yeah. It was interesting because I was just kind of – I was in class, in history class, if I'm not mistaken. And
oh, my gosh.
Just happened to look up – yeah, I was in class with the rest of the students, and I looked at the door, and there was a police officer standing there and this other guy with the principal. And they're all three staring at me. What? No, I didn't cut class. I'm here. What's the problem? and they opened the door and they said, "We'd like to speak with Velvet Lewis, please." I said, what did I do? And who was this other guy here? And they caught me in the hallway there, outside the door. And they said, "Look, we'd like for you to do this TV show, if you're interested, and we're going to cut it today. So we need to get you out of school." Well, what TV show was this? And he said, "Well, there's a couple other guys here in the school that we're going to have play with you. But, we really just would like to have you join us if you don't mind." I said, "Oh, sure. All right, fine."
Wow.
I guess not a problem. I got to call my mom, though, because she's going to be wondering what happened. So, they allowed me to go in the office and make a phone call to mom's mom. "Hey, look, they're taking me out of school." They're like, "What do you mean they're taking us?" "Oh, slow down. It's a recording session for a TV show." "Oh, okay. Well, just call me when you get down there and let me know what's going on." "Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll do that." And went down to the studio and just recorded the live performance. And it was able to be done, I think, maybe in about 2 or 3 hours. It didn't take that long. But then it turns out the guy that was asking me to do this was the son of the lead singer from the Dixie Hummingbirds, Ira Tucker Jr.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
And then after we did the filming there at the studio, he said, "Well, I'd like to know if you'd like to join me in a recording session. We're going over to New Jersey to do some recording, and I'd like to take you over there." I got to call mom again now. And she's like, "Yeah, we'll do it. That's what I want you to do. Keep going at it." I said, "Great." So, right from there, right to a recording studio with a gospel group called the Gospel Lairs, and recorded 4 songs with Hammond organ in the studio. And from there, things just kept happening.
That is so amazing. And here you were. I mean, is it something, Vel, that you intrinsically knew? I know that you were in the Philadelphia Boys Choir and you went to Settlement Music School.
Yeah.
Is it something that was so intrinsic to you, or did you learn? Because, I'm thinking to myself, there's a lot of people that the folks could have called to do this, but you must have had something special. I mean, here you were multi-instrumental at this point. Were you not?
Yeah, and what was interesting, when they came to grab me out of class, I don't remember ever playing for anybody in that school before, so I don't know how they knew that I even played an instrument.
Interesting.
It still boggles my mind to this day how they figured that out, but it could have been that they asked someone in the music department, because that particular school, which was Overbrook High, they did have a music magnet program which I was part of. So it could have been from maybe the jazz band instructor or, you know, the choral director or someone just mentioning that, you know, you've got this guy here that, you know, plays keyboards and piano, organ. He's great. You know, maybe talk to him. I don't know. I never got the answer for that.
God bless Overbrook High. You know, that's been in my attention, the little spectrum of my focus recently, because my buddy David P. Stevens celebrated his birthday the other day, and he's a Philly guy, and he's got something on his last CD called Overbrook Drive in homage to Philadelphia. Man, and they had a pretty good music education program at that time, Phil, did they?
Yes, they did. There's still a lot of people that have come through that particular program at the same time that I did, and prior and after. You might be familiar with a group that recorded hits years ago called First Choice.
Yes.
They went to school with me at the same time. Not directly involved in the music program, to my knowledge, other than just in the choral section. But, like I said, we were all in various classes together, and they did marvelous work out there with some of their songs.
Now, I'm not sure.
I think they're doing something soon.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I saw something that's posted on Facebook. I think they're doing a reunion somewhere in New York pretty soon.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure what graduating class, you were, because my graduating class was 1970 at Bishop McDevitt in Wincote, which was down the road a piece from where you were. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'll
the memory.
Years later.
Were you? Mm-hmm. Okay. And yeah. I know that Stanley, you mentioned Stanley Clark. Stanley is a couple of years older than me. And I think that Jerry Brown is maybe a year or so older. I'm not quite sure.
You're about right.
But we were all in that same generation and gravitating in those circles and really feeling a buzz of jazz and other kinds of music in Philadelphia at that time. Man, it was a good time to be raised, wasn't it?
Exactly. Exciting days and nights all the time. Always, you know, nice thought that I can just appreciate that I had the chance to experience.
And so here's the question that needs to get asked of you. When you were in that particular vibe of Philadelphia, and then you got to meet the one of the greats involved in gospel music, and that was a hand up to you for the next level. You got to be on Paul Simon's Love Me Like a Rock and Stevie's Jesus Children of America. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, Stevie had already recorded Jesus Children of America on his own, but then gave the song over to Ira Tucker to have the Dixie Hummingbirds do some work with it. So they brought the track into the same studio that I had been recording with over in New Jersey. And Ira asked me, he said, well, you know, see what you can do with this track. And I, at the time, I didn't know that Stevie had anything to do with the song. I didn't know whether he wrote it or anything. They just put it on and said, here, listen to it. And I started with the bass pedals on the organ, just kind of moving around with it. And then I looked up through the control window all of a sudden, and here's Paul Simon sitting there. What's he doing here? So I didn't know who he was. I just continued recording, finished the part on Jesus Children of America that I needed to do. And then they came up with this song, Love Me Like a Rock, and started playing that and said, here, you know, here's another one. Can you do something on this? Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll work with it. And then came back into the control room after I recorded it. And Iris said, by the way, that song you just played on, this is the guy that wrote it. His name's Paul Simon. And I looked at him. He looks
looks familiar, like maybe Simon and Garfunkel. Is this the same guy? Oh, you guys keep throwing these surprises at me. Oh, God. They laughed. Yeah, we had a big laugh there in the studio.
That is
great.
So funny. Oh, gosh. And you know what? I hadn't put it together. You're aware of Robert Glasper's Black Radio 2 because if you aren't, I had just played, and I swear to you, I hadn't put it together. I had written all these notes about you, and it just occurred to me that a good song that should be played today in this mix was Layla Hathaway and Malcolm Jamal Warner doing their take of Jesus, Children of America on Robert Glasper 2, Black Radio. Yep.
Wow.
So... yeah, I must have had Bill Lewis on the brain big time today. That's funny. Yeah. So how did you?
It's funny too. You mentioned Layla Hathaway because I've been listening to some of her material lately, some YouTube clips that she's doing. Oh, that woman has just got a beautiful voice. Just awesome.
Yeah. You know, we can say all we want to about. Genes getting passed along and whether we want to believe that those genes really do surface either good or bad. But in this particular case, Daddy's gene grew so big in his daughter, it's just amazing, isn't it?
Very true, very true, very true.
Man.
Yes.
So how did you wind up in Texas is the question of the day.
Well, I owe it all to my lovely wife.
Okay.
She's been in the, let's see, she's been actually in a couple different businesses. She's been in the energy field. She's now in an oil and gas industry. And through various jobs that she's taken since being here in the U.S., we ended up being relocated here just recently for a new job that she has taken on. And we're enjoying it. I like the city. It's really nice. It's a vibrant city here, which is really nice. So.
And it's Houston, right?
Houston, correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? One of the great delights of me being on Facebook is that I have come to know a gentleman that you probably know. If you don't, you and he would connect on a level that I can't even describe. Dwight Sills is in Houston.
Yeah. Yes.
And
there's another guy that you probably know, too. Bobby Lyle is here.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, well, you're in good company then, because I fretted a little bit when I heard that you are now in Houston. So as long as you know that you've got some great company there, all is well.
I know.
Right.
Exactly.
I was worried a little bit because, you know, from Philadelphia to Texas, a little bit of a culture change.
Yeah, true. But from the music end of it, though, it's been nice, again, because the jazz scene is also very vibrant here. There's a few clubs that feature jazz artists pretty regularly, and it's been fun to be able to, you know, just – any women just go downtown and stop into a couple clubs or restaurants and check out some really nice players and some good music.
And also, hopefully, your path has crossed with another friend of mine, the beautiful and talented vocalist Gianna Welling.
No, I haven't, not yet. But
okay.
I'm writing that name down right now, so I can do that for sure.
Oh, yes. She would love you. You would love her. And she has been in some collaborative efforts with Frank McComb and, a few others. She and you really need to have a networking system together. It would be really cool to someday see a picture of you and Bobby, Gianna, and Dwight on Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Look,
yeah.
You know what? It just seems as though a lot of different folks that you and I know, Vil, have gotten together. One of the folks that I'm thinking of is Kevin Eubanks, who not only does stuff by himself, of course, but he has also banded together with two other collaborative efforts. And I know that you want to focus on your career, but there's so much that you can do. And you know how to play flute, and you've had concert training. Tell me what it is that you really want to do now that Colors of Soul is out. What is it that you see for your big picture?
Big picture is probably to continue on somewhat of the same path that I have, which is to continue writing music for film, TV. But my real passion is to be on stage performing. I love that. And to travel around, I still love traveling. So that doesn't bother me at all to pack a bag and just take off at any time. From a collaboration standpoint, though, as you mentioned, I'd love to be able to work with any artists that happen to be either local here or, you know, nationally, abroad, doesn't matter. I've always wanted to be a good inspiration for young artists coming up. I've actually done some instruction with some artists here and there, vocal training, drummers as well, because I do play drums, little electric bass as well,
thanks
to another friend of mine, Victor Bailey, and I go back many years and learned quite a bit just watching him, you know, during jam sessions and stuff that we used to have in the basements in Philly. So those types of things are still some options that I'd love to explore, but I think the main thing I'm really wanting to do is just to get back out there on stage with the band, and primarily with my brother, who's a drummer. He's actually still working with Dionne Warwick. My brother is Jeffrey Lewis, and he's been with Dionne for, I think, probably 13 years. Also performed with Sheena Easton for a few years and with Paul Taylor. So, exceptional drummer.
You are something else. Bless your precious little humble heart, because let us mention here that you have worked with household names. I mean, we're talking about the OJs and the Supremes and Grover Washington Jr., and the list goes on. And here you are bragging on your brother. Aren't you sweet?
I got to give him props, because he can play. He surprised me growing up. I never really thought that he was going to stay with it, because he had started with a different instrument as well. He started with violin. And after a couple of years of playing, I think he played for maybe 6 years or so, decided he wanted to play drums. And that happened while we were doing a rehearsal one day in the basement of my house where I lived at in Philly. I don't know if I mentioned this, but you know, my mother was also very musically inclined, and from an entertainment standpoint of being a tap dancer and acrobat when she was young. So she encouraged us. Yeah. She encouraged my brother, actually all of my brother and sister, you know, get into music, pick up an instrument. You need to learn how to play something. So we had rehearsals, jam sessions all the time at my house in Philly, and everyone on the block knew it. Because they'd hear the music start up, and oh, there they go. And they would just gather around the front of the house and just listen. And then we'd have block parties and so forth where, you know, the band would come out on the street and play. So, yeah, it was lovely to have in that kind of background.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Boy, it makes all the difference in the world when you have a parent who encourages you, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But I also had the flip side of that as well, where Dad said he would pull me aside every now and then because he was a test maintenance engineer for RCA. Son, let me talk to you. Okay, Dad, yeah. I know you love your music. I support you 100%. But you got to make sure you got a trade just in case. You never know what's going to happen out there. You need to be able to do something else. Okay, Dad. So most of that was, you know, coming home from school or whatever, and then you want to check my homework and see what kind of work I'm doing. It's, Dad, homework's done. Yeah, well, okay, fine. Bring it into the kitchen here at the table. And I said, my dad said, it will be, hey, do what he says. Go take the, said, okay, fine. So I'd go and sit down and open the books up. And he was a mathematician, so he loved working with new math and showing me different ways on how to do different math equations and things. So
that's incredible.
That helped over the years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's right. You know, one of the stories I remembered from working in my years in country music radio, I never forgot this, because one of the true superstars through the years was Tammy Wynette. And Tammy achieved this iconic status, but she always kept her hairstylist license.
There you go. Right.
You know, in case that she ever had to fall back on something else. So you had the best of both worlds, did you not?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I thank the parents that I had and thank God for them, because it's kept me going.
Yeah. Well, you're just so – it was really delightful. I mean, I had a chance to talk to you on the phone a couple of weeks ago, and I knew that this was going to be so cool today, because I love to talk to those who seem to be so centered. And when somebody has a balance in their life and can enjoy everything that comes to them and be grateful for that – and now I understand that you had that blueprint when you were a child to be able to be grateful for what you have.
Absolutely.
That's great. Well, let's play the doggone single. Can we do that?
Please.
That would be great.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my God.
Thank
Song
so
for
much.
My Love. That is... I love the title.
And, you know, I just got a new airplay report today from Jason and his dad, Cliff. Trish, number 8 on the top ads for the week.
Get out.
Number
Get
8.
Out. Well,
so excited today. I am so excited today. It's just been great.
How about that? July is shaping up to be a pretty dadgum cool month.
Yeah,
well,
you
know, we got to show folks why. We've got to play this lovely, fresh song, because you just don't hear what you do with music. You don't hear it from a lot of different corners, Vel. So when you hear a song like this, I know that when I first played it some weeks ago, Beej in the chat room went, "All righty now, who is this?" I said, "You're going to be hearing more about this gentleman." So here we go, Song for My Love from Colors of Soul and Vel Lewis on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Just took the words right out of my mouth. She said, this song takes me to such a happy place. And I said, oh, my God. I was just thinking that same thing.
Nice.
You know, this is what it did, and you will get a kick out of this. This takes me right back to the 60s when we used to go to Ocean City, New Jersey. Litterous orange juice, Mac and Manco pizza, my dad and me, looking at folks who were walking on the boardwalk, and my dad, who had this warped sense of humor, used to nudge me and go, oh, look at that girl's fuselage. I mean, all these memories come flooding back, and had a crush on the lifeguard at 20th Street, and that's what your song was able to do. Isn't that cool?
Oh, nice. Thank you.
God, thank you.
I tried to make it as happy as I could. I really did, because I wanted to have something that felt happy on the CD, and that's where that came from.
Well, let me tell you, you've accomplished that a few times. and you know, what's crazy? You sent me this music, and I'm so appreciative of all the music that you sent me, because some of them are little sneak previews, but I just want more. I want a whole lot of Vel Lewis music at my disposal. Is that being selfish?
Wow. No. Thank you very much.
Oh.
And I will make sure that you have that. I'll keep working to get you some more soon.
It just seems like when you play anything that has keys attached to it, it's like a second skin for you, isn't it?
It is. I don't know how to put it, but it's almost like, I'll say it this way. My mother told me this once. She said, you know, I notice you play better when you don't practice too much. That kind of threw me when she said that. I said, well, no, I thought just the opposite. She said, no, I think what it is, when you have time away from it, your mind gets into that creative mode of what you want to hear as opposed to what you think you need to be playing. So then when you sit down at the keyboard and the organ here, you just go crazy. Okay, I kind of agree with that. Now, I do practice very often, but most of my practice tends to be what I like to play, what I feel. So I think that kind of answers that comment on as second skin, more or less. That's probably what it is.
Well, you know what? Maybe your mom was saying, boy, she was intuitive. I love that. She maybe felt that when you have been away from it for a while and then you come back to it, you're hungry for it. So the best of Vel Lewis comes out.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's nothing like being able to play a keyboard, whether it's a piano or a Hammond B3, because, man, we appreciate those Hammond players on this show. We really do. Oh, yes, sir. Gosh, if you know, because look, we both know, Vel, Jimmy Smith was born in Norristown, PA, in Montgomery County. Mm-hmm. I was brought up in Jenkintown, PA, and you're a Philadelphia guy, so we know that some of the greatest music and some of those folks, Shirley Scott, God rest her soul too,
oh,
you know, had,
my goodness.
Oh, gracious. Those strong ties, and there must have been something in the water in Philly. I don't know what it is.
I got to tell you a story since you mentioned that about Shirley.
Yeah.
This is another unusual circumstance, and again, it can only be God showing me these blessings when they happen.
Amen.
During a rehearsal, yeah, exactly. I mean, during a rehearsal one, I think it was a Saturday afternoon with the Futures, in between songs, I kept hearing some organ playing through the walls. And I'm thinking, well, you know, there's a bar next door, but it's Saturday afternoon. Who could be in there? And this is an organ. I said, I don't know ever hearing about an organist being in, you know, and then we rehearsed in this place quite a bit. It was our own rehearsal studio.
Oh, no, I think
so
I know what's coming.
Yeah, I said, I got to take a break here for a minute. I mean, we're going to take a lunch break anyway. So I walked outside the door, went next door, and I figured the club was closed. But again, the music was coming from this bar. So I knocked on the door, and the owner opened it. He said, I knew you were coming over here. Come on in here. I was like, what? I'm going to introduce you to Shirley Scott. I almost fainted right there. I said, oh, my God. I used to listen to this woman so much, listening to her albums, because my dad had a huge collection of her music. And there she was on the stage rehearsing for a show she was going to do at this bar. And I'm telling you, I had to pick my mouth up off the floor and just, hi, my name is Vel Lewis. she said, hi, honey. I'm trying to remember the guy's name that owned the bar, but he said, yeah, he told me so much about you. And yeah, please, you know, any questions you have, anything you want to know, feel free to ask me. I was a blank. I just wanted to hear. Just please keep playing. And she showed
what
me some of the organ registrations on certain songs that she played. And, oh, gosh, that was such an experience.
Oh, my gosh. I would have been a wreck because, you know, I cultivate the females that have been in this business who have played instruments and who have garnered such respect. And, gosh, she was so respected. Shoo.
Mm-hmm.
And the interpretations of the way she would do songs are just so soulful and yearning. She just trips me out. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Beautiful
yeah.
lady. And she was kind to you, too. Oh.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I couldn't play another note when I went back to rehearsal. So excited.
Oh, you were supposed to meet Shirley Scott, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And when was this? Do you remember the year for this, Phil?
This would have been probably, I want to say probably mid-70s, around 74.
Oh, okay.
74.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, it was probably around the time when I was with the same band, and we were writing our own material at that point, and I'd written a song called Tell Me Why with the drummer in the band. His name's Keith Stafford. He may be listening right now. Hey, Keith, if you are.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, and I mean, from that point, that pretty much is where my composition ability, I think, came into play. Because, again, that was my first song, but it ended up on a Reprise label with Warner Brothers, with the band when we recorded it. And
that's
still,
something.
From what I understand, a pretty big hit over in the UK, yeah.
Isn't it funny about the United Kingdom and the fact that they are so readily embraceable of jazz and soul and true American music? It seems to get attention first in the UK, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. I've heard that from many musicians, too.
Yeah, an appreciation that we so need to reprioritize here. And trust me, some of us are working on it like crazy because, honestly, Val, my son and I are going to move to Florida in December, and we really do have to take advantage. And I think that T, my son, would like to help in this endeavor because he actually used to help me program music. When he was a little guy, he would be very instrumental in picking out songs just because he's accustomed to different kinds of music and likes the ring of truth in each kind of genre. But we really do need to see that jazz, in all its particular elements, gets a renewed respect because people need to appreciate what you're doing, what you've been doing for all these years. And our kids in their education or lack thereof that they get in the schools, man, people need to understand how crucial it is. You just talked about your dad and how immersed he was in math. And the correlation between music and mathematics, people don't think about that stuff, do they?
Trish, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I have been on my, I don't know what you call it, a band stool or whatever, on my soapbox about that type of thing. One of the things that I've done through my life at this point is to be involved in education. I worked with the School District of Philadelphia for about 5 years at one point as a Title I reading aide, also non-teaching assistant to some degree. I had different assignments here and there throughout the years. Also with an alternative school out in West Philly, where I taught 7th, 8th, and 9th graders math, reading, English, and that's, you know. It was really enlightening because at that point we had music programs still within the school. But then over the years, and even just over the last few years, I've noticed that there's been severe budget cuts in school districts, and they seem to always attack the music programs, and they cut them out, and it just kills me to see that, because like you said, there's that correlation between math and music.
Oh, count, yes.
Rhythm, rhythmic notation, these things, you know, it's important for, I think, for young people to be able to experience what music brings to the table when you're trying to learn new things in school, especially when with young children, you know, because it's just so devastating to see that a lot of young kids aren't able to experience that uniqueness of music, whether it be singing or playing whatever type of instrument it might be.
Yes.
And seeing how, you know, just the motor coordination as well sometimes helps a person and their academic skills increase, and how their mentality just goes to a different level. They have a different awareness about their lives in general. And I'm glad you mentioned that.
Oh, gosh. And Val, even more important than that, one of the most glaring examples of the importance that you've just described and more is when I had Dante Winslow here on the show. He's with Justin Timberlake, but he also has his own scenario going on with his Winslow dynasty. He and his beautiful wife, Mashika, who sings, Dante, amazing on that trumpet, was able to learn how to play at a very young age. And when I tell you that his childhood was horrible, that's a capital H. The abuse that he suffered, the poverty that he suffered, the shuffling around, what saved him was being able to escape with that trumpet. It saved his sanity.
I can understand that.
All of these kids, and like your mom, she knew because she had that background. She wanted you and your brother to play an instrument because she knew that it would be always a place for you as a retreat through the years.
Right. And like you said, an escape out of a bad situation.
Yes.
Because even growing up in the area of Philadelphia that I grew up in, it was rough, very rough. And I saw so many levels of roughness as I grew up where things just escalated and it got worse and worse and worse. Mm. And my mother kept me out of the neighborhood. Even though, you know, I was still close friends even to this day with some of the neighbors that lived on the block. I think you actually had a little message here on Facebook with the guy, Rod Murray. He grew up with us as well on the block and can attest to this. It was really hard lifestyle growing up, but being able to have something to go out of the neighborhood to, where I could go to music lessons and catch the bus and go downtown to Center City to be with my teachers and, you know, spend hours with them and just learning music and going to choir rehearsals with the all-boys choir. You know, Dad would sometimes drop me off and pick me up, whatever. So I had that out to be able to come out of a bad situation into something that I could appreciate.
Absolutely. And how on earth do we expect our children to want to continue to go to school if there's not an element of something in the schools that brings them joy? Huh?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Oh, you hit the nail on the head.
God.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we have to find different ways of being squeaky wheels who get the grease here, because this is critical. It's not a luxury. It's not superfluous. It's urgently needed, because if we want to raise well-rounded individuals who become healthy adults, music has to be a key factor in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we'll have to have an ongoing discussion of that, though, Lewis. There's no question about it.
You've got my number.
Yeah. Maybe there's something that we can do. Gosh, there's so much to discuss here, isn't there? Oh, God.
Yes, you're right.
So what is the next step for you? Describe in ways that you can, maybe there's some things you can't discuss, but how does the rest of your 2014 unfold?
I have plans to release another EP. And hopefully I can do it in the fall. We'll see what God brings. But the tracks are just about done. And
good.
It's some good stuff. And actually going to be doing some vocals.
See? That's a good thing. You know what? I really want to explore the possibility of your vocals. I mean, when you were with the Futures, did you sing?
Mm-hmm. Well, not with the frontline singers, because the Futures at that time was an 11-member group. So there were 6 in the band and 5 singers, which we called frontline. But what we would do is warm up the audience, the band would. So we had our own show, which is why later we broke away to become what was later known as the Life Group. And we had choreography, that we used on stage. I sang vocals, sometimes background, sometimes lead. The percussionist sang lead and would do some James Brown stuff every now and then, like the Sex Machine. We used to open a place up with Sex Machine and just drive everybody nuts. And the good thing I really loved about that group is the band was so tight. We were James Brown fanatics. I mean, we broke down James Brown music to the point where we knew what type of snare was being used and how tight the snare head was on the drum, what type of amplifiers they were using, and we wanted to have the same kind of amplifiers. And you know, we had two guitars playing in the band, and we knew which guitarist was going to play rhythm, the other one was going to play the rhythmic notations going on through the songs, and it was just fun all the time with that band. But yes, indeed, I started back then doing some vocals with the band and kept doing it.
See, that's another side of you. My God, multi-instrumentalist and vocalist and producer, arranger, composer. It's just crazy. Maybe you just described it, but what has been the coolest thing that ever has happened in your long career? What's the coolest thing or the thing that still gives you a rush when you contemplate it?
When Dionne Warwick called me.
Oh.
I wasn't expecting it. I met her during a rehearsal, my brother was, as I said, he's been working with her for a number of years, and he just asked me to come join him on the East Coast because we've got a lot of family still on the East Coast. And they were doing a show, I believe it was in Atlantic City, possibly at one of the casinos there. And I had some time away from the office at that point because I was working a job then, but also still doing music, you know, for TV shows and stuff. So I said, sure, yeah, I'll fly him back. So came back for the weekend so I could see family. So he said, you know, come on over to the casino. You know, we're going to do sound check at about 2 o'clock. Said, all right, fine. So I just kind of hanging there watching him put his drums together. And Dionne's son, David Elliott, was sitting at the piano. And just going through some chord changes, I guess, on the song he was working on. And my brother looked over at David and said, hey, David, you know, my brother plays keyboard, so he plays piano. Oh, really? Oh, hey, well, come on over here and sit down. Okay. David, I noticed you were playing these chords here like this, and I thought you might want to make a change like this. And, oh, that's what I was looking for. That's the chord I was looking for. Hey, Mom, check this guy out here. I was like, Mom, and then she's walking across the stage. And
oh, my.
You know the term cold sweat? I got it real quick. Real quick. I just got flush, and I could feel the sweat coming, and I'm feeling this cold. And, oh, no. And she said, well, okay, let me hear it. Okay. Bite my lips here. Okay, yeah, I was playing chords like this, okay, and I did this change here, and said, yeah, that sounds great. And then she just walked on over to the front of the stage to grab her mic and, you know, do the sound check that they were there to do. And I finished the song and got up and said, well, I hope she liked it. Just went on backstage and relaxed, you know, to get over the nervousness that I was going through at the time.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, so later on, I guess, I think maybe a week or so went by. I was coming home after being at a doctor's appointment earlier for a checkup, and the phone rang. So I picked up the phone. Hello. Hi, this is Dionne Warwick calling.
What? Oh, my God.
I just wanted to tell you, I really liked hearing what I heard the other day when you were there with your brother, and wanted to know if you might be interested in going on a world tour with me.
Get out.
Okay, sure. No hesitation, sure, okay. And
oh, my.
She said, well, I need to get some information from you so I can give to my bookkeeper. I need your address and your Social Security number. I said, okay, so I gave her the Social Security number and said, okay, well, my address, read it off to her. And at the time, I was living in San Jose, California. So when I got to saying San Jose, she said, oh, do you know the way, baby?
That is so cool. Oh, my
Classic line. Classic line. Perfect. That's, oh, this is great. Yes, I do know the way. Thank you, Ms. Warwick.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, I was out there with her for about 3 years. Yeah.
That is something else. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, folks do not realize that back in the day, when we would hear these Burt Bacharach, Hal David songs come out of the mouth of Dionne Warwick, it was like, oh, it was the best. It was the 60s, and we would hear these songs that got played on what was great radio at that time, and everybody
That's right.
just took a back seat because Dionne Warwick was, in the immortal words, here I am again quoting Huggy Lowdown, the shiggity. Man. So
yes,
I understand that James Brown cold sweat that you broke out into. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a great
wow.
time.
You've had a lot of great times, and we've had a great time. I cannot believe that it's like almost an hour that has gone by, if you can believe it.
Yeah, it's been good. I'm just looking at the clock now that you mentioned it. You're right.
Jeez, that is so crazy. Well, look, please keep me posted, Vel, about this new EP, and tell us the definitive place where folks can get Colors of Soul, because we want to push that and make sure people support you as much as possible. You have your website, right?
Yes, I do. But the easiest way right now to actually get a physical copy of the CD, because it is available for downloads at different
Good.
Websites, go to iTunes and download it. Amazon.com has it for downloads. But for the physical CD, so you can get the artwork and everything, go to cdbaby.com and look up Vel Lewis, and you'll see that I have singles from the Colors of Soul album as well as the album in its entirety. And you can
Wonderful.
Actually have it shipped to them.
That's great. I love CD Baby. I really mm-hmm. do. Between that and Amazon, I spend too much money. But, you know, and I do love physical copies. The physical copies mean so much to me when I'm able to get them because of the liner notes and just to put your hand on it, you know, and have it forever. So I'm appreciative of everything that you sent me, and everything will get played, Vel.
Yeah, I'm hoping people will definitely get the physical CD so you can see the credits there, because I've got Lenny Castro playing percussion on a couple of tracks.
Wow.
And Lenny's a good old friend that's just awesome on percussion. I can't say enough about him. And
I know
Kevin Chopin, who's music director for Jeffrey Osborne. He's playing guitar on it.
Oh, wow. Not said. Oh, gracious. Well, look, it's been a blast, Vel, and we played a couple of songs. I'm going to make sure I close out with Colors of Soul because I've played that song on Hyper Jazz before, and it's just gotten a real great reaction. Anything that I'm going to play from you is going to have the same kind of reaction, and I'm just so glad to know you now. Thanks to Jason. Please give him a hug if you see him, or I'll give him a hug if I see him.
I will. And a special thanks to Greg Manning, too, for helping me with the mixes on these tracks. It came out great.
Oh, Greg Manning helped you. And you know what? His CD drops today.
I know it.
That's great.
And it's
a small world, isn't it? And it's getting smaller.
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, bless your heart. Thank you so much for spending the time today. I didn't know how much time you were going to have, Val. I'm glad it was a pleasure for you. I'm glad.
It sure was. Thank you very much.
Oh, listen, you're welcome back anytime, and you know I mean it, because you're my Philly blood now.
Yeah, we got to talk about them cheesesteaks, huh?
Yes, and I'm going to make sure I tell Jerry Brown that I talked to you, because he was expecting me to see me at Diana Ross when she was here last weekend, but I couldn't go. So he'll get a big kick that you and I talked. That's so amazing. I love it.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you, too. And we'll see you down the road. I'm going to make sure I get to wherever you are so I can see you play. And maybe when we move to Florida, maybe we can find a venue so you can come and visit.
There's quite a few of them down there, so let me know for sure. Be glad to do it.
Okay. That's good. That's another item on the agenda to fix when we get to Southwest Florida. So you and I will stay in touch. Can we promise each other that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Love
Thank
to hear
you,
from
Bill.
You anytime.
Good.
Thank
good.
You.
Sure. My pleasure.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, Bill.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bill Lewis. Great guy. I knew he would be. I knew he was. Thank you, Jason Gorov. You are something else. Let's do Colors of Soul. We love this song on Hyper Jazz. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Put me in a different zone, and I'm not sure if I cleared my throat when the microphone was on or not. This Windows 8 scenario is driving me nuts. If you have Windows 8, you know what I'm saying. It is just so touchy. You know, I'm going to tell you who sang that song in a minute. Do you find it utterly insane when you look at different TV shows and everybody seems to be so cool, calm, and collected when they start flipping screens in some of these contemporary shows like NCIS or CSI, and they're flipping screens constantly? I cannot stand flipping screens. I want to be able to move strategically to a certain place and not have you go ahead of me when I merely touch the computer. Woo! And I'm telling you, I have this set up here on Blog Talk Radio so that I have the studio essentially here at home. So it has happened that just from the mere touching of the particular go arrow, it flips to another song. Oh, my God. It's like I need to take a Valium after some shows. So if I cleared my throat, I apologize. That certainly wasn't intentional. Who you just heard was the ethereal Madeline Peru. I have been laboring for years to figure out how to say her last name. But NPR says that her last name is pronounced like the country of Peru. Madeline Peru. Here is one of those wonderfully rare creatures who sounds a little like Billie Holiday, sounds a little like Ella Fitzgerald, has this combination. She is, as opposed to genre bending, she's a genre blender. Jazz and blues and pop and a little country in there too. She is of French origin, but she was born in the same neck of the woods as Trisha Yearwood, Athens, Georgia. But mom and dad, who she called eccentric educators, split up, sadly, when she was little, and her mom took her to Paris. So Madeline soaked in what was happening in her adopted country, and she was busking when she was a teenager. So she learned to sing in French, and she somehow managed to come to New York, and her first CD had all these wondrous people on it from New York who were early believers. What you heard was something from Careless Love in 2004, I'll Look Around. And all of them were covers except for a song called Don't Wait Too Long, which was in a commercial around that time and then found its way to the Last Holiday soundtrack, one of my favorite movies, with LL Cool J and Queen Latifah. I love that movie. So you can hear Madeline in that movie, and this Careless Love project is probably her most popular one. Very private person. She's 40 this year, and she likes to spend a lot of time away from the scene, and then she'll come back and she'll say hello. She does have a Facebook page. I'm not sure if she does it or somebody else, but she's got that certain kind of rare quality in her voice. Do you agree? It's just beautiful. We heard Richard Elliott, too. Brand new. The CD is going to drop next week, but I'm showing off because he was here on the show last week. And I wanted to play another track from Lip Service because this is the Bob Baldwin song that Richard was discussing when he was a guest on the show. City Lights, isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. And just so you know, who he has on the CD, same person that our friend Vail Lewis just mentioned, Lenny Castro, who gets around. Man, if you want the best, you get Lenny Castro. Oh! And then he has Lee Thornburg, who we know from East Bay Soul. Lee always does such a great job. And Paul Brown, of course, had a huge hand in sort of getting the process started for Lip Service, trying to twist Richard Elliott's arm in the way of romance. Do you want to do something romantic this time, Richard? Maybe not so full throttle. Maybe pull it back a little. So Richard bought it, and man, this CD is smoking. Wait till you hear. See if you can get it ahead of time. You probably can. He talked about that, right? So get a track or two, or go to CD Baby or Amazon, see if you can find it, but make sure you get it when it drops. It's real cool. Between Rick Braun and Richard Elliott and Vel Lewis and Reagan Whiteside, whose Quantum Drive drops today, man, you've got some good music. Honest to goodness, it's nice. And speaking of good music and something brand new, Pete Gitlin. The crowd goes wild for the Summer of Love. Pete remembers when it was, as does yours truly. So if you have seen the artwork, if you have heard the song, man, it's good. And Pete wanted to do something special, exclusive for Hybrid Jazz listeners. He wanted to do the announcement that the first five people who would write to me or say something on Facebook or do an acknowledgement of some kind would get a special copy of Summer of Love. He would give you a code, get your email address because I would give it to him, and then get the artwork and the single from CD Baby, which I thought was fantastic. So, by all means, PM me, private message me on Facebook, or you could write me, and the Facebook messages will go to my particular email address anyway, at altcwgal@aol.com, short for Alternative Country Western Gal, which I really am now. altcwgal@aol.com, or private message me, whatever the circumstances. Given away one or two so far because people have written to me. So the next three people who bring it to my attention will get that special offer from Pete Gitlin. And I think now we should play the song, don't you? Great idea. Summer of Love. Mr. Gitlin, please do your beautiful guitar work for us, if you please, on Hybrid Jazz. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Somebody told me get over it. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. They say it gets better, it gets easier. The memories start to fade, and sad songs that always play you start to hate. Do you remember the days we used to spend? Memory's so strong it keeps me from moving on. If I could go back, I'd take our worst days. Even our worst days are better than loneliness. Somebody told me get over it. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. Do you remember the days we used to spend? Memory so strong it keeps me from moving on. I take our worst days, even our worst days are better than loneliness. Somebody told me get over it. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. It's like water under bridges that have already burned. They say. It's like water under bridges that have already burned.
Woo! Does he get you or what? Gregory Porter from Liquid Spirit. Water under bridges. If you were familiar with Gregory Porter the first time via video, as I was not prepared for the visual of who he is because he wears that blasted hat all the time. but he calls it his lucky hat, and bless him, whatever he wants to do. But this was going back a few years ago, and this video was so plaintive. The voice that he has is such a kind of a wail, this longing and sadness and wistfulness. It's just indescribable. Well, I just did, but you can put your own adjectives to him. This album is certainly a treasure. Anything he does, he owns for sure. I worry about him, though, because honestly, this has been mentioned before. If you go to his website, how does he have time to sleep or breathe? He literally is going from one location to another without a day to spare. Whew. He's going to be at the North Tennessee Jazz Festival that was mentioned earlier. That's this weekend, and he will be in the throes of a lot of mixed company. It's just wild what they're doing at North Sea Jazz Festival, and I don't have an issue at all with what they're doing, because whoever put this together, first of all, has an unreasonable amount of money to be able to afford some of the acts coming. Number two, has created this diverse group of people who are probably going to appreciate one another greatly. You have megastars there, and then you have folks who have toiled in the fields in jazz. So the particular megastars that they have at North Sea Jazz fully comprehend the magnitude of the talent from the other. So that makes me happy. You'll have to go to the website or see the posting of the video that was done on my Facebook page earlier to see what I'm talking about. Gregory Porter, Water Under Bridges. Pieces of a Dream from 1999. That was the middle song in that set, Malibu Nights. Malibu Nights from 1999. James Lloyd was on the show not that long ago. Boy, that was fun. Just Like Val Lewis. What is there about keyboard players that makes it so curious? James Lloyd and Eddie Backus Jr. stopping by on that particular endeavor, Malibu Nights, from Ahead to the Past. And I got to tell you about this. Eddie is going to be part of a very fun night at K2 in Woodbridge, Virginia. If you can get to there, if you're from Maryland or Philly or D.C. certainly, or any place that may be like a day trip scenario for you. It will be on in early August. Will it be on August the 5th? I'll have to check that date. Christian Dimasones of Groove School fame, Big New York, is going to be doing his bass thing there, and he will have Eddie Backus Jr. there and Elliot Levine and Kenny Wesley and Rob Maletic and more. It will be phenomenal. So we're trying to get a carload of folks. I don't want to miss him this time because I missed him the last couple of times when he had Jared with him. But this time around, no, got to do it, to see Eddie play the sax. Well, look, Eddie Backus Jr. was with Pieces of a Dream. You think they're going to get a mediocre sax player? No. Pete Gitlin! Yay! It's very cool to be able to tell you that Summer of Love is doing well. And I just gave the word out with my email address and also to private message me on Facebook that if you wanted to get your special copy of Summer of Love via CD Baby with a code that Pete will provide to you, you'll not only get that particular single from him, but also the cool artwork that will take you back to the 60s. Some of you don't know because you weren't born yet, but man, there was a lot of creativity because there was a lot of LSD being dropped that year. Can I just say it frankly? A lot of marijuana being smoked. A lot of LSD tripping, a lot of mescaline, all sorts of stuff was happening. Oh, geez. We could actually write a book just on that. I digress. Let us do this last song set, shall we? I have to play this new guy for you. He's new for me. He might not be new for you, but once again, can I just give the love out to Jason Gorov for introducing me to Don Diego. Don Diego! From the CD Fun, this is Tenor Fiesta on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
Oh, gracious. She's got a fiesta in her soul, doesn't she? Esperanza Spalding, actually from 2008 now. Can you believe it? Shoo! Esperanza was the name of the CD. And I Adore You, the name of the track. I'm going to see if this works. Hold on, let me see if it works. If I can do this. Maybe. Oh, yeah. That might work. Just nice and low enough where I can talk over it. This is Jeanette Harrison, Summer Rain. Just because we want to keep that vibe going. Isn't that nice? Jeanette Harris, yeah. Come on. Snap those fingers. Listen, I just want to tell you this. We're going to make sure Jeanette just grooves us right out to the end of the show. Esperanza Spalding, just so you know, had that particular musical project over 70 weeks on the Billboard Jazz charts. She hasn't let up since. She's only going to be 30 years old in October. Isn't that crazy? Man, she has just done wonderful things for the state of jazz. I appreciate her for that. Tito Puente, we heard from 1958. That swinging, brassy El Cayoco from Dance Mania with Ray Barreto as Congrero. Tito Puente, Ernesto Antonio Tito Puente, the multi-award winner who we lost in 2000. But man, did he create a lifetime of music. Just amazing. We also heard from Don Diego, and you can find this particular Don Diego, because there are a few in history, DonDiegoJazz.com, Texas-based jazz man, toured with Vanilla Ice for 3 years. Tenor Fiesta is the track that we heard from Fun, where he shares some licks back and forth with Kirk Whalum and Gerald Albright. Don is also a vocalist and keyboardist as well. He's got that gospel and Detroit soul underneath all of what he does in the way of contemporary jazz, so it's very cool. Yeah. Thursday's show here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy is going to feature Reagan Whiteside, whose CD drops today, Quantum Drive. We'll hear at least three tracks from it on Thursday. And then next week, we're going to have Jimmy Haslett. Oh, yes, we will. And then next Thursday, no show. Have to be on my way to Philadelphia for a very special gathering in the weeks to come. It's going to be all good stuff. There will probably be some changes in the mix as far as shows are concerned to acclimate ourselves to some of these stars' schedules. I'll tell you that. And some days off as we make the trip or make the plans for the trip to Florida in December. But usually it's going to be Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 until 4. Go ahead, Jeanette. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. Wasn't Vail Lewis a treasure? Oh, my God. Please, VailLewis.com. Has what you need to know about him. Pick up his music if you possibly can. Thanks to Matt. Thanks to Beach. I love you both. The winners of our Pete Gitlin Summer of Love little package. We've got a couple. Looking for a couple more. Make sure you get me at Facebook or altcwgal at aol.com. And we'll see you on Thursday here on Hybrid Jazz.